Evam, thus, Panchavidam, the five sense objects. Lingam, the subtle body. Trivrit, influenced by the three modes. Sodacha, 16. Vistritam, expanded. Eshaha, this. Chaitanya, with the living entity. Yuktaha, combined. Jivaha, the conditioned soul. Iti, thus. Abhideyate, is understood. Translation. The five sense objects, the five sense organs, the five knowledge-acquiring senses, and the mind are the 16 material expansions. These combine with the living entity and are influenced by the three modes of material nature. Thus, the existence of the conditioned soul is understood. So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the 15th chapter, text 7, Mamivangso jiva lokehi jiva bhuta sanatana manakshastani indrihani prakriti stani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Here, it is also explained that the living entity comes in contact with the 16 material elements and is influenced by the three modes of material nature. The living entity and this combination of elements combine to form what is called jiva bhuta. The conditioned soul that struggles hard within material nature. The total material existence is first agitated by the three modes of material nature, and these become the living conditions of the living entity. Thus, the subtle and gross bodies develop, and the ingredients are earth, water, fire, air, sky, and so on. According to Sri Madhvacharya, when consciousness, the living force in the heart, is agitated by the three modes of material nature, then the subtle body of the living entity, consisting of the mind, the sense objects, the five senses that acquire knowledge, and the five senses for acting in the material condition, become possible. So, evam pachabidham lingam trivritsodasya vishritam esha chitaneha yukto jiva ityabhi dhyate. So, Om Ganat Timiranda Shah, Gunanjana Shlakaya Chakshur, Unmiritam Yena Tasmai, Shri Gurave Namaha. So, what is being described here is what's called Sankhya philosophy. You've all heard of Sankhya philosophy before? And there's more elaboration on the Sankhya philosophy by Lord Kapiladeva in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, it's interesting. Does anyone here know the meaning of the word Sankhya? What?
Analytical study of Vedas?
No, no. The direct meaning of the word Sankhya. Anyone know? It's interesting. What? Yeah, yeah. Actually, Parashuram is very, very close. It's good. It means to count. That's what the word means, to count, and like to count the population, like you said. You know, if you do a census, it's called Sankhya, like that. I'll try to speak more to the microphone. So that's the meaning of the word. It's one of the sad-darshanas, one of the six darshanas. That means, darshan means to see. One of the six ways of approaching
the absolute truth of understanding reality. And there's other ones too. Of course, they come in pairs, which is really interesting. Sankhya is in a pair with what's called yoga. Everyone understands that? So yoga, of course, means the Patanjali system. So in other words, they work together, Sankhya and yoga. They need each other. So in the Patanjali system of yoga, you have, Patanjali says, the purpose of yoga is to stop, he uses the word in Sanskrit, vritti, to stop the turning of the mind. Just like we have in English, the word invert, revert, subvert, and pervert, and so many other words like that, right? I'm sure you can think of more vert words. So that means really to turn around. Invert means just like turn inside, basically. So the mind right now is doing all these vert things. It's turning up and down. As Arjuna says in the Gita, what does he say? Chanchala hi manaha Krishna, pramati balavadridam, tajaham nigraham manye, vayor iva shidushkaram. That's from the sixth chapter, the Gita. He says the mind is turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, and to control it is more difficult than controlling the wind. So, and also later on, Patanjali, in his Yoga Sutras, says the purpose of controlling the mind is to fix the mind on Ishvara. He doesn't specifically mention Krishna, but he mentions Ishvara. Ishvara means the controller, the person. Like Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. So many people who practice the so-called yoga system nowadays, they don't pay any attention to meditating on Ishvara. Mainly it's become a system of exercise, gymnastics. And Prabhupada would very much criticize that. So, getting back to the point. So this is a pair. You know, Sankhya and Yoga. And there are other pairs amongst the other four darshanas. Anyway, so you have others. I'm not going to go through all the six darshanas right now because that's not the purpose of the class. So, when the living entity is able to analyze and count the different material elements, and here you're talking about not only the Panchamahabhuta and the Linga Shavira, that is earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, but you're also talking about the perceptive senses. That means the eyes, the nose, the sense of touch, the ears, and the tongue. Just like I was watching everybody eating last night. And I could see the tongue was very strong. As it said, what? Jivayati lobamaya sudurmati. Very difficult to conquer the tongue. Well, of course, with prasada. So those are the perceptive senses. Then you have the active senses like the legs and the arms and the mouth and the genitals like that. So these are also, that's 10. That's another 10. You know, there's 5 and 5 is 10. And then you get the 8, which is the material elements. Then you also have mana, like manashastani, indriyani, prakritistani, karshati, as Prabhupada quotes here. You have the mind. And then you have the three modes of material nature. And then ultimately you have the soul and the super soul. So there's 24 and 25 elements. So what happens is when people are counting these elements, you know, just going through all these elements, they cannot come to the understanding of super soul and soul, because these things are transcendental. What is it? Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriyai Sevan Mukehi Jivado Swayameva Spurachida. You know that verse? Atakshi Krishna. One cannot perceive Krishna and the soul with these designated senses. Designated means covered senses. But Sevan Mukehi Jivado. By serving Krishna, there's the jiva again. Jiva means the tongue. Just like I was just at Radhakund and they have the tongue of Govardhan there. Anyone seen the tongue of Govardhan? You've seen. They were digging out this well, and they struck a rock, and the rock started bleeding. And then Raghunath Das Goswami said, that's the tongue. So in Bengali, it's called Dubwa. If you see, it's written there. Dubwa, J-I-B-Y-A, is that? That's Bengali. Dubwa, or in Sanskrit, Jiwa. So we have these senses, and you can count them like that. You can enumerate, count them. But you really won't come to understanding spiritual reality simply by doing that. So you have to engage the senses in the service of the Lord. So in other words, it's not like one would come to the conclusion that the senses should just be renounced. That's the Mayavadi conclusion. Of course, they also say that that Krishna has no senses. Krishna has no eyes, no ears, no tongue, no legs. Therefore, he's formless, and then that's a big offense. That's the one time when it's all right to get angry. When someone says that nonsense. And we can defeat them very easily. How do you defeat them? Just say, how do you know? It's very easy, just a simple, logical thing. How do you know? And then usually they use the argument because our senses are imperfect and God could not have imperfect things. So we say, how do you know there are no perfect senses? You just keep asking the question. How do you know? How do you know? That's called epistemology. It's a fancy word for all of you that will impress your friends. If you throw out some fancy philosophical words. Epistemology means, how do you know? How do you know what you know? And because they have no basis for knowing, no firm basis for knowing what they know. Like someone will say, I don't believe God has a form. And I say, how do you know? And they say, well, because I'm Arya Samaj. I said, that's not an argument. You know, I'm American, so what does that mean? You know, you're not Arya Samaj, you're Jiva Bhuta. These are all temporary designations. So they must have a valid argument. So why do we believe what we believe in spite of not seeing it at present or perceiving it at present? Because we have this disciplic succession, and as Arjuna says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavicham, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Aham Vibahu. That Krishna, I know that you're God, the supreme abode, the supreme Brahman, because all the sages have said that. Like Narada, Vyasa, Asita, Devala. So you ask them the question, you know, what sage has said what you said? They say, well, maybe Satyasai Baba said it. And even they may get to the point and say, well, Shankaracharya taught it. And then I say, no, Shankaracharya said, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda Mudamate. You jackass, just worship Krishna. Mudha. Right? So, anyway, so it's very easy to defeat the Mayavadis simply using epistemology. That means, how do you know what you know? We have a very firm basis for knowing what we know. And also, there's another statement, Prachaksha Bhagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartam Avyam, that we have direct perception of Krishna every day, like Krishna's on the altar, or Krishna's in his holy names, and we feel gradual elevation. Whereas the Mayavadis, they feel gradual attachment coming to the material world. So, anyway, you can get angry at Mayavadis. That's all right. Nobody else. Don't get angry at Vaishnavas, please, because they're all very dear to Krishna. So, the point is, we have the senses, and we're meant to engage the senses in Krishna's service. And also, another point about these senses is that we are also meant to satisfy the senses. That may appear like a little weird, a sannyasi saying that. So, because the senses have needs. What do I mean by that? We have basic needs. Like, if you don't satisfy your tongue, your mind will go wild. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita. In his Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he says that we have material needs and spiritual needs. And both of those needs have to be satisfied to be stable in bhakti. For example, if you're starving to death, how will you concentrate on the holy names? Or if you're in pain, let's say you have some accident and you hurt yourself, it's very difficult to concentrate. Of course, if you're an absolutely pure devotee, then you can reduce your eating to what? A pat of butter every 2 days. Can anyone here do that? No more mangoes, no more duruka, no more rotis. We'd save a lot of money in the temple, right? Reduce expenses very dramatically if we can do that. But you have those needs. So devotees, actually leaders in the Krishna conscious movement, Prabhupada said, are meant to make sure the devotees' needs are satisfied. And of course we have basic needs like a need for air, light, friendship. That's also a need. A need for love, a need for acceptance, a need to make our own decisions about life, and ultimately the spiritual needs, right? A need to learn. All these are important for us as devotees. So you don't want to read this verse and misunderstand it, thinking this Pancha Mahabhuta and also the Linga Sharira, that means the five material elements, the subtle body, the senses, it's all nonsense. So let me just fast and chant. It will not work like that. We have to engage these things in Krishna service, and that's better than Sankhya, sitting around, counting, enumerating the material elements, analyzing the material elements, trying to become detached from the material elements. It doesn't work like that. So these are some of the points one can derive. I'll keep the class short, and we can take questions. Any questions or comments? Yes. Yes. Actually, yeah, he made a good point, if anyone heard, that when we commit offenses against Vaishnavas, so what are offenses? Let's define what offenses against Vaishnavas are. There's mental offenses, there's verbal offenses, and corporal offenses. That means thinking. Even Vedic culture is so strong that even when a guest comes to your house, if you look at him with, like, beady eyes, why did you come? You're going to eat all the prasadam. Someone comes to the Sunday feast, that's a guest. This is Krishna's house, and we're Krishna's children. So let's say a guest comes, and we're more interested in our own eating, this is something I want to talk about anyway, than in the guest. So we look at him, get to the back of the line, guest. Do you do that in your home? I don't think so. You know, home, someone comes and you serve him. But we don't think the same way about the temple. We think, this is Krishna's home, so he's meant to serve me. Right? So when a guest comes, we should become happy. It's said in the Vedic literatures that if you look at a guest with, like, staring eyes, what happens? The vultures of hell, this fifth canto, will come and pluck your eyes out. It's not such a pleasant experience. And so, you know, so we should be, as members of the Krishna conscious movement, when guests come on Sunday, we should become so happy and serve them, and that we even forget about our own need. We have the rest of the week to eat. Right? Eating is going on so many times a day. You can eat at midnight if you like. So, and Krishna always arranges for his devotees. Nityo-nityo-nam, chaitanya-chaitanya-nam, eko-bohanam, yo-vidadati-kamam. Krishna is supplying everybody's needs. So what to speak of if we treat a Vaishnava like that, if we even think badly about a Vaishnava? Or we write something on the internet about a Vaishnava? Or accuse them of something in a court case? I mean, these are all dangerous things. You know, just wow. We're not scared enough. I mean, I'm scared, personally, of committing offenses. Sometimes devotees will comment, even about some other Vaishnava group, they'll comment negatively and I'll say, I don't want to hear that. Because if you hear that, even if you don't reply, then what happens is you have to suffer for the offense too. Like that story of Meenakshi Ramdas in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is reference to your question. That Meenakshi Ramdas came to Krishnadas Kaviraj's home, and he was treated very badly by Krishnadas Kaviraj's brother. Stories in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And what happened is that Meenakshi Ramdas was, anyway, so basically treated badly and almost like kicked out of the house, not quite, sent to a cow barn or something like that. And then he broke his flute. Meenakshi Ramdas was one of the branches of Lord Nityananda's tree, a very intimate coward boy associate. And then after that, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's brother fell down. And he also mistreated Lord Nityananda, because he was Lord Nityananda's associate, the Meenakshi Ramdas. So he fell down just from that. What does falling down mean? I'll tell you what falling down means. It doesn't mean that you're smoking marijuana or eating meat or anything like that. It means you lose a taste for hearing and chanting. That's what a fall down is. You no longer get your ecstasy from the holy names. Just like someone came to me the other day and he's chanting 64 rounds a day, right? Won't mention his name. So, and he said, I'm feeling so much ecstasy. I don't want anything to do with the material world anymore. And I said, what do your parents think about that? He said, they're not so happy. But so that's what the taste one gets. When we first join the movement, we have so much taste, isn't it? And after we've been in the movement a little while, we commit offenses and we lose our taste. I think all of you experienced when you joined the movement, you had more ecstasy than when you have now, right? I mean, that's a basic experience we all have. Because before we joined the movement, we never committed offense against Vaishnavas. Because there weren't any Vaishnavas. Wait a second, let me continue. There weren't any Vaishnavas to commit an offense against. And then when we join the movement, there's Vaishnavas. Vaishnava, I'll tell you what a Vaishnava is. A Vaishnava is anyone, according to Rupa Goswami, that a Vaishnava, there's three grades of Vaishnavas, of course. Anyone who chants the holy names even once and accepts Krishna, he's to be offered respects in the mind, right? Wait a second. It's not time for questions. I'm answering his question. So, and then someone who's more advanced, then we offer service and respect. And then someone's equally advanced, we make friendship. And someone who's more advanced, we actually serve very nicely. So we have to be very, very careful. Even Bhaktivinoda, this is referring to Bhaktivinoda Thakur again. We should see people who are executing their religious practices properly in other religions as Vaishnavas. That may be difficult for some of you, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur says when we see another religious ceremony going on, we should become very happy thinking they are worshiping the same God as me, but in a different way. The cultural difference is a little different. I mean, I know people should become vegetarians and all that other nice stuff. But as far as their worship ceremonies, we should see them, they're worshiping the same God. So they're Vaishnavas also. It's not that we disrespect someone who's a Christian, someone who's a Muslim. Different varieties of Vaishnavas. So we should be very, very, very cautious. So getting back to your point. So yes, one's whole family associates actually become affected by offenses. Another example of that is Ramchandra Khan. Ramchandra Khan, he offended Haridas. Haridas Thakur was simply engaged in chanting the holy names 3 lakhs a day That's 64 times 3, in case you haven't figured that out. That's a lot of rounds, right? Anybody here ever chant 64 rounds? Some of you have. No. It's very nice, right? We should have... I mean, if we had time while I was here, I would like to have a japa day where we all chant 64 rounds. It would change the consciousness of everybody. So Haridas Thakur was chanting 64 rounds every day, and Ramchandra Khan became envious of him, and he approached one of the beautiful girls, the prostitutes, and he said, I want you to make Haridas Thakur fall down. And so this prostitute, we all know the story, said, yes, sir, no problem. I'm very beautiful. I can make anybody fall down. I'm a Bollywood actress. So she went and she tried her stuff in front of Haridas Thakur, and he just wanted to finish his rounds. You know, he wasn't interested in falling down. He was interested in helping her become Krishna conscious. She became a pure devotee of the Lord. And Ramchandra Khan, because of his offenses to Haridas Thakur, later also offended Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda said Ramchandra Khan's home and place is as good as a butcher shop or a place where people eat meat. And later on, the Muslims attacked the whole village of Ramchandra Khan, decimated it, that means tore it apart, and they cooked beef right in the Durga Mandap, which was part of Ramchandra Khan's house. So here, there's a story like that. So, and then on the other hand, you have, let's get back to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami offended, his brother, I'm sorry, offended Meenakaitana Ramdas, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he left home. He renounced his family, even though he was so old, which is interesting. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes the practically he was blind when he was writing. He was blind and his hands were trembling, yet he was able to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the most authoritative philosophical exposition on the pastimes and philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So therefore, even though he was old, he left his family like that. Because he didn't want anything to do with the offenses committed. So we should be very, very careful about this, because we lose our understanding, lose our taste, and as I said, fall down doesn't mean you're smoking marijuana. It means simply you're falling down from your platform of devotional service. And then you have to wait many lifetimes to reinitiate, not to take initiation again, but to reinitiate your progress in devotional service. So we should be very careful who we're dealing with. We don't know who we're dealing with. I mean, you may see that some person is scrubbing the pots in the kitchen, but he may be a pure devotee of Krishna. So if you treat him harshly, even you may have a high position, you may be the GVC, and you say, get out of my way, you little creep, or whatever. You may be committing a mad elephant offense. You know, you may have big position. Like Prabhupada also said that if the GBCs make mistakes, they become shudras in their next life. Did you ever hear that before? So guess where I'll be next life. Anyway, that's all right. At least I can scrub Krishna's pots. I don't mind. You know, you take a risk. So that's the point. Be very, very cautious. All you Vaishnavas are very dear to Krishna. And that's why you see someone like Jesus Christ, what did he do? He bathed the feet of his disciples. It's interesting, isn't it? He bathed their feet, respecting them. That is a manina manadena. If we don't respect everyone, then we're not following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's injunction. Every morning you're chanting that. Do you understand what it means? Amanina manadena. Not expecting any respect, but respecting all others. Even if a person attacks you, you respect them. And not that you have to sit down and be attacked, but Haridas Thakur was respecting the people who were beating him. What to speak of someone who chants Hare Krishna even once? That's in the mind we respect, right? So we have to be very cautious. This is Vaishnava etiquette, you know, the beginning of Vaishnava etiquette. Being very cautious dealing with Krishna's dear devotees. And of course, the offenses against the deities, the offenses against the holy Dham. This is also the holy Dham. Offenses against the Nam, against the name. All these different things. Very, very cautious. Bandhanvi Savadhanamate, right? Savadhan. It means very, very cautious. Not, we should not be like people drive in India. You understand? No caution, they say. And no savadhan. Right? So, what's the question? I forget exactly where that is. Yeah, he says, I'm not afraid of anything except for offending a Vaishnava. Mm. And even, there's a story of Chitraketu too, where he was cursed by Durga, and he didn't counter curse because he was respecting Durga, who's a Vaishnavi. So even that's another important point, the men should respect the ladies because the ladies are all Vaishnavis. So I know sometimes we have this chauvinistic attitude that, you know, we're men and we're fantastic, and if you don't like it, we're going to chastise you. And we're meant to be served, and you're meant to serve. But we're all meant to serve. And Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis, any living entity who's chanting Hare Krishna, and the ant, we should respect the ant even, what to speak of a human being who is chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Yeah.
When you commit an offense, and you do not have the guts or the courage to go and ask the people to come
right now,
what do you do?
Suffer. And then there's several types of suffering. Like I mentioned, you lose a taste. Another type of suffering is Krishna takes you away from the association of Vaishnavas. Your senses become very strong again. Talking here about the senses, your desire to enjoy becomes more and more manifest. And you're wondering, why? I've been chanting Hare Krishna so long. And, you know, just like when I was talking to Rasamando the other day, I think he has more taste for chanting than I do. I was thinking, boy, wow, what have I done wrong? Maybe I should just resign as GBC, you know, not commit so many offenses against Vaishnavas, just be a simple, humble devotee. I mean, sometimes I look at the residents of Braj, especially, you know, the ones who are Radhakund and like that, and I see they're wearing these very short dhotis and chanting, and I said, why can't I do that? Well, why do I have to be put... And then I remember Prabhupada wants me to do this. So. That Prabhupada wants me to be engaged and take risk like that. And then Krishna, Prabhupada give you special mercy when you take risk for the Krishna consciousness movement. But there's such attraction to being a very simple Vaishnava, isn't it? Just not having any of these headaches and just chanting and being in ecstasy. And I'd like it described that Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, they would offer obeisances to 1,000 Vaishnavas a day. Not just their guru, but can you imagine that? 1,000 Vaishnavas a day offering obeisances to. And they didn't ask them, how advanced are you, Dwarkadish, you know? So that's like Jesus Christ, you understand, bathing the feet of his disciples and followers. And that's a Vaishnava. Rupa Goswami, and we're Rupanugas. I mean, it's followers of Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Gopal Bhatt Goswami. They all engaged in that every day. Do we do that? No. We don't do that. And that's why... Hey Radhe Brajadevike, Hey Nanda Shunoputa, that they were experiencing so much ecstasy that all day long they were when they weren't reciting Krishna Katha or chanting. They were running around, Krishna, where are you? Nanda Maharaj, son of Nanda Maharaj, oh Radharani, where are you? But we don't do that. We run around, where is food? Right? We don't run around, you know, where is Krishna? I want Krishna. This intensity, volume, which is the price of pure devotional service. We're not experiencing it now. Something's wrong. It's described when you chant Hare Krishna, if you don't feel tears coming from your eyes, your heart is steel framed. Something is wrong. After, you know, like me, 40 years in the Krishna consciousness movement, if I'm not crying when I'm chanting japa, I'm doing something wrong. Right? It's true. 40 years chanting. And it's still a struggle. What have I done wrong? It's not that the holy names don't work, it's I don't work. That's how we should be thinking. So when I see a younger devotee experiencing ecstasy, I just get envious. What happened with me, Krishna? I'm the guru, and the disciple's experiencing more ecstasy than the guru. Terrible, isn't it? It's not fair, Krishna. We're going to do an industrial action. Strike. So it's inspiring to see. It's inspiring to see younger devotees experiencing happiness in Krishna consciousness. And I want it to continue. So just be careful. All right? Any other questions?
So it was supposed to be the standard behavior of devotees.
Yeah. Vaishnava etiquette.
Right?
What?
Chaitanya Charitam is supposed to expose the
standard etiquette of behavior. Vaishnava is right.
There's no mention of any way that abuse of temple funds, abuse of temple management, how to do that. There's nothing mentioned how to do that.
Everything belongs to Krishna, and everybody should take. Anyway, Krishna takes care of these things. We have a system in ISKCON. For dealing with these things. It's called the GBC, then the GBC body, and then there's Krishna up there.
There's one resolution in GBC.
Anyway, we follow the GBC resolution.
Yes, one resolution says that the national laws are broken and take them at the court.
No, there's not a resolution. Like, we should deal with things internally in our Krishna consciousness movement. I mean, if someone is a child abuser, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. If someone is a child abuser, bank robber, but we should respect the devotees.
There's one devotee was sent to jail for abuse of funds in Hawaii. My godbrother,
No. He committed child abuse. I know the story. He committed child abuse in the temple. Don't make up stories. I know every detail. He committed child abuse. In that case, we have this child abuse protection. Immediately, we protect the children. Anytime there's an abuse of a person, physical abuse, yes, we consult, we get the law. And that's what happened. Okay, anybody else want to ask a question? We deal with devotees according to etiquette. And we have to have a high trust society, too, where we trust the devotees. I mean, I trust the devotees. And if there's some problem, then we rectify it internally. If someone's taking too many japatis, we don't call the police. What does it go? Japati chore. Right? Is there such a thing? Japati? Roti chore. Like Krishna's makan chore. And some people are roti chores, so we don't. Right? So the police case, Fiji's son, someone has stolen rotis and eaten too much. He's condemned to roll rotis for 5 years in Krishna's kitchen. Anyway, we have to use our intelligence. So I guess we should end now, unless there's any other question. Anyone else want to ask a question? No? Time to greet the deities. Actually, we're just on time. Maybe they'll be late this today, Sunday. Yeah, Rupa Nuga.
How do we know
We evaluate our Krishna consciousness very easy. How much we're attached to chanting, how much we're detached from this material world, especially the tongue. That's how you can evaluate how much you've lost interest in satisfying the tongue and satisfying the other senses. You know, tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. It's just not interesting because you're developing your internal life. You should be taking prasadam with Krishna internally, or serving Krishna, or cooking for Krishna. And then when you're doing that, what's happening externally is not of so much importance, except you're a seva for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one evaluates by Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yad Ahoitakam. That means the knowledge that comes, the internal realization, the manifestation of Krishna in your heart, the symptoms of ecstasy, bhava. I mean, what happens when you see a peacock feather? Do you feel symptoms of ecstasy? That's called a vibhava. No. You just think it's a peacock. What happens when you hear a flute? Just like one time I was at Govardhan and I heard a flute. And I thought, wow, I've become Krishna conscious. Then I realized it was on the PA system. You know, they put some flute player there. So when you hear a flute, do you remember Krishna? When you see a dance, do you remember Krishna? Or what do you remember? So these are symptoms of advancement. You can judge how much you want to hear. How attracted are you to hearing about Krishna? So it's a very simple thing. Like Prabhupada said, you can judge your own advancement. Of course, you don't brag about it. You don't say, today I felt ecstasy. I was very advanced. I felt so much ecstasy. But still, you can judge. Everybody should judge. Yes, Parashuram Prabhu.
How much you are attracted to Krishna is not easy. There are so many other things that you are driving towards that.
Right. Yes. Good, good.
I think that's a very wonderful quality. Once one is able to see that, then he's able to see the other person as another living entity, part and parcel of Krishna.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. That is very important because that's also what's spoken about as a preliminary stage in the Isopanishad, Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Atmane Ivana Pashati, Sarvabhuteshu Bhutanam. So that it states that one who becomes Krishna conscious never hates anyone and sees Krishna in everyone's heart. So this is a necessary... Thank you. That's very important. That's very important because it's a down-to-earth explanation, a practical explanation, how you can love all living entities because you see them as your brothers and sisters. Like Prabhupada commented about one Christian named Saint Francis of Assisi who saw all the living entities as brother and sister. He said that is first-class God consciousness. So that's a practical manifestation of love of God, of advancement in devotional service. Very good. Very happy you said that one. So any other questions? Do you want, yeah. Yeah, how much we want to serve, yeah.
When we get the opportunity to serve, we try to dodge.
So yeah. Yeah, how enthusiastic we are to serve. That's another symptom. You know, someone says, would you like to do this service? And we think of an excuse. No, not today. Tomorrow. So these are all practical symptoms of advancement. Yeah, not only the attraction for Krishna and the detachment, but the seeing all living entities as part and parcel of Krishna and actually loving all living entities like Haridas Thakur did and then wanting to serve. Okay, so now time to greet the deities. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada Vijay.